Willkommen zu Fokus International bei Radio Dreieckland. Ihr hört heute eine Sendung zum Thema, wenn Müll sich nützlich macht. Es handelt sich dabei um einen Ausschnitt aus der Sendung Frohsinn von Radio Froh Linz vom 4. April 2016.
Frohsinn,
das werktägliche Infomagazin von Radio Froh
auf 105,0.
Das Abfallsystem in Österreich ist gut organisiert. Wir können uns darauf verlassen, dass die Müllabfuhr regelmäßig den Müll wegschafft. Einiges davon wird wiederverwertet, anderes landet auf Müllhalden, irgendwo auf der Welt. Immer mehr Menschen entdecken aber wieder neu, was früher selbstverständlich war. Vieles muss nicht in der Mülltonne landen, wenn man nur ein bisschen kreativ ist. Auch in Uganda beschäftigt der zunehmende Müll die Menschen. In den ländlichen Regionen wartet man oft vergeblich darauf, dass der Abfall abgeholt wird. In den schnell wachsenden Städten ist Müll allgegenwärtig und bedeutet auch in Uganda eine Gefahr für die Gesundheit der Bevölkerung. Aber auch hier finden Menschen darauf kreative Antworten. Der Müll in Städten, der Mist auf dem Land, das ist nützlich und kann sinnvoll verwertet werden. Ich darf heute zwei Gäste aus Uganda im Studio begrüßen, die sich zurzeit auf Einladung vom Welthaus Linz in Oberösterreich auf Erfahrungsaustausch begeben. Das Studiogespräch wird auf Deutsch und Englisch geführt. Durch die heutige Sendung führt Nora Niemetz. Lucien Ichodo trifft sich regelmäßig mit einer Gruppe von Frauen in ihrem Stadtteil, um mit ihnen über Probleme mit der städtischen Müllabfuhr zu diskutieren oder an ihren Ideen zum Recycling von Metallresten weiterzuarbeiten. Francis Sekalaiga, wo ich bestimmt nun den Namen nicht richtig ausgesprochen habe, er mich aber dann bei der Kurzvorstellung aufklären wird, wie ich es denn noch richtiger aussprechen hätte können, liebt seine Arbeit mit Bäuerinnen und Bauern. Er ist Projektkoordinator eines landwirtschaftlichen Programms LICEFAP, der Caritas Mado in Massaker, durch das die Ernährungssicherheit und Einkommenssituation der ländlichen Bevölkerung verbessert werden sollen. Beide kommen aus Uganda und wurden vom Welthaus Linz nach Oberösterreich eingeladen. Ich freue mich sehr, heute die beiden und auch die Gastgeberin Bettina Reiter vom Welthaus Linz bei mir im Studio begrüßen zu dürfen. Hallo.
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 Liebe Bettina, du bist vom Welthaus Linz. Ihr wart ja schon manches Mal bei uns zu Gast im Studio. Vielleicht kannst du dich aber trotzdem kurz mal vorstellen und auch erzählen, wie es zur Einladung von Lucian und Francis gekommen ist.
Mhm. Ihr Welthaus Linz ist die entwicklungspolitische Fachstelle der Diözese Linz und eines unserer Projekte ist Begegnung mit Gästen. Dafür bin ich zuständig. Begegnung mit Gästen ist ein österreichweites Projekt, mit dem wir versuchen, Brücken zu bauen. Verbindungen zwischen Menschen herzustellen, die zwar an unterschiedlichen Orten, aber doch in der einen Welt leben. Und jedes Jahr laden wir von Welthaus Österreich aus Menschen aus dem globalen Süden ein, so wie auch dieses Jahr wieder. Du hast gefragt, wie es denn dazu gekommen ist. Ich habe mit einer Kollegin eine Bildungserhebungsreise gemacht, letzten Sommer nach Uganda, wo wir verschiedenste Organisationen besucht haben, uns von den Themen dort, von den aktuellen Themen dort inspirieren lassen haben und schließlich zwei wirklich sehr spannende Organisationen gefunden haben. Mit den Gästen, die uns besuchen, bekommen eben globale Themen ein Gesicht. Themen wie Müll, ein globales Thema, das uns überall betrifft. Mit unseren Gästen können wir dieses Thema näher zu uns herholen.
Ja, liebe Bettina, ihr habt ja ganz schön viel vor die nächsten Tage. Kannst du uns so ganz kurz erzählen, was so euer Programm ist oder was ihr mit den Gästen dann so unternehmt?
Ja, die Gäste werden jetzt eine Woche lang bei uns in Linz sein und dann weiterreisen, noch weitere 2 Wochen in Österreich sein. Und wir werden in Schulen fahren oder auch bei Abendveranstaltungen mit Erwachsenen uns mit verschiedenen Menschen austauschen. Ganz besonders spannend wird vielleicht ein Austausch beim Altstoffsammelzentrum in Ried, wo wir mit Mitgliedern des Umweltausschusses im Bezirk Ried uns austauschen werden. Zu einer wichtigen Veranstaltung in Linz werden wir vielleicht später noch kommen, im Luftraum, wo wir uns auch mit verschiedensten Initiativen austauschen werden, die auch in Österreich versuchen, Müll sinnvoll zu verwerten. Und ja, es wartet ein spannendes Programm auf uns.
Danke, Bettina. Hello, Lucien. Hi, Francis. We will now switch to English. I shortly introduced you before. For sure, I did pronounce your surname not correctly, mm-hmm. and I said you will correct me now when okay. you do a short introduction. So I will ask you to tell us a little bit more about you, Lucien. Vielleicht möchtest du starten? Maybe you want to start.
Okay. Thank you very much, our moderator, and we do appreciate this program, really. By the names, I'm called Ichod Lucien. I come from Uganda. In a small town called Busia, and that is in Africa. I work with Youth Environment Service, that's yes, and we do a lot of waste management issues. And that's why we are here in Austria trying to try to encounter with guests, the program which is called Encounter with Guests, in order to handle issues of waste management.
Thanks a lot. Francis.
Thank you very much, Nora. I'm Sekariga Francis. I come from Uganda, from a part called Masaka. It's the central part of Uganda. It's about 200 kilometers from the capital, Kampala. I work with an organization called Caritas Mado, and the Caritas Mado work with the rural communities to help them improve their livelihoods through agriculture activities. And agriculture activities do also generate waste. We are here on a program, Encounter with Guests, organized by Vert House, and we're here to create awareness that as much as waste is a challenge to Austria and Uganda, it's a global concern, and we think we can do something. We can discuss how better we can address the issue of waste management and the challenge of waste, both in Uganda and Austria. I'm glad to be hosted by Radio Flow. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Francis, in the beginning I mentioned that you work for an agricultural program. It's called the LICEFAP, but this is just an abbreviation. Maybe you can explain what it is about or what the letters stand for.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nora. The LICEFAP, yes, it's an abbreviation for livelihood improvement through sustainable and environmentally friendly agricultural production. As I noted at the beginning, Caritas Mado is promoting improvement of livelihood of the people through moisture aquaculture, but want the farmers to do aquaculture in an environmentally sustainable and friendly manner. And that's how maybe Welthaus identified us, that as people who are doing not only farming, but in a way that protects and conserves the environment. This program is supported by the province of Tirol. So we have a close relationship with the autonomous province of Tirol, and maybe partly that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
And I'm the project coordinator, and as a project coordinator, I'm responsible for a number of activities, mostly training activities, because we think the use of knowledge to our farmers is key and very important, and My work and my role is to organize several activities relating to trainings of farmers, training of stakeholders, even non-farmers, others government officials or government departments to appreciate the importance of doing farming and aquaculture in a way that conserves the environment. So much of my work is training. I'm a development worker by profession, and I have a background in training in aquaculture training.
Thank you. Lucien, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the work you're doing, especially if you focus on the topic of waste, because you work for YES, which mm-hmm. is also an abbreviation for Youth Environment mm-hmm. Service. So maybe you can tell a little bit about it.
Okay, thank you very much, moderator. In Youth Environment Service, we really saw that waste was a very, very big challenge because we are handling waste-related issues in urban centers, that is the town, and which is Busia Municipal Council. And we have different kinds of waste that is generated in the town. We have the plastic waste, we have the food residues, we have some of the polythene bags and the metallic waste, which was really a menace. And as an organization, we said, yes, we can do something concerning waste. And we consulted our partners, that is DKA through Horizon 3000. They supported us to promote this kind of aspect. And today we look at waste right from the generation to the disposal side. And that is how we handle issues of waste. And in this situation, we have very many approaches that we use in the community to handle issues of waste. First of all, we have a community awareness creation to tell them that, look, you have to manage your waste well. And we do use an approach like a door-to-door sensitization. We also have committees that we form. Those are the volunteers. We have the village environment committee members. We have the school environment committee members. Because we believe they are change agents who can, and working with the children too, these are change agents who can bring change in the community in regard of waste issues. We also have structures like the bicycle taxis, because this is the greatest transport system that we use in the community. So they move with some information that please don't dispose your waste and etc. And people are able to capture the information. And we as field officers in Youth Environment Service, we have direct contact with the villages. We have to do a daily routine, that is from Monday to Friday, direct contact with the community members. We enter people's homes and tell them, please, can you manage your waste well? Do this. And we do it in line with hygiene and sanitation related issues. It's not only waste.
So if you look at Uganda and the challenges, if you think about waste, because maybe it's a very new topic for you, maybe it just came up the last years, or you work on it for several years already, so maybe you can tell us what the challenges are and what you face in your everyday life if you think about waste and also what the people are facing.
Thank you very much, Nora. The communities and the people have always generated waste through their different activities. But we think the topic of waste management is becoming pertinent now because of the change in lifestyles. That, for example, I work with the rural areas. They have always generated mostly organic waste that can rot and decompose in the soils. But their consumption trends have also changed. They are increasingly consuming packaged materials or foods that are packaged in plastic materials or paper or aluminium foils that don't easily rot. But also, there is an increasing migration of people to towns and small towns, increasing the challenge of waste. If I look at the challenge of waste in the rural areas, as you promote them to increase their production, that means the production of waste also increases. For example, those households that keep cows, they keep pigs, they have a lot of animal waste, and they need to manage this waste well. No one is taking it from the farm, and as it is decomposing, the number of a lot of flies that can cause diseases, they can cause the place to be smelly or the place to be thirsty. So we are promoting and training these communities that, yes, you're generating waste, and no one is to take it. You have to take care of it so that it doesn't affect you or affect the neighbors. Like for Caritas Mado, we are promoting the production of biogas. We are showing these farmers you can use your cow dung and cow urine to dispose it in a manner that it generates gas for you. You use the gas for cooking and for lighting the house, but it also ensures that this waste is properly decomposed in a way that it doesn't cause diseases or cause disease-causing organisms to be so common in the homes. So the issue of waste is becoming pertinent because of the changing consumption trends in towns, there is a lot of plastic materials, and because the communities were not used to plastics, they were used to things that would rot. Now their knowledge of how to handle non-biodegradable materials is low. That's why me and my colleague Lucian, we are trying to tackle it from the educational point of view. That's more of a knowledge. When we compare ourselves with the maybe communities in Austria, you find there is a good degree of discipline on how people dispose the materials. You'll find different bins in the towns that separate the glass, the paper, and the degradables. Where you find bins in Uganda, you'll find one bin where you throw the waste. It's mixed up, and what the municipal councils, the town authorities will do is to carry it and drop it somewhere in a manner that is not separated. So we're coming up, we are not only training communities or addressing it, the problem with the communities only, but also with the leaders to appreciate the need to separate waste and to dispose it in a manner that doesn't affect neighbors or neighborhoods where they dump this waste. So it's becoming a big problem, but we think we can do something through knowledge and awareness creation among the different people and the communities and the stakeholders, that it is a problem for all of us, and not only in Uganda, not only in towns, not only in villages. And when we come here, say, to Austria, maybe the waste in Africa, you might think it doesn't concern me, but somehow it ends in the lakes, somehow it ends in the affecting the forests. Those forests will affect the ecosystem, to affect the ozone layer. Eventually, maybe it will affect the climate of the whole world, and even Austria can get affected. So it's no longer an issue of how far it is from you. It can still have a far-reaching effect. Maybe in so many years, it can get here. Not directly that the waste will come here, but its effect on the general environment and the general climate of the world can eventually affect all of us.
And in some ways, we are bringing the waste to your country.
And you're right. There is a lot of old computers or the electronics, and they are brought to Africa. We buy them because some people can't afford the brand new computers and the like, but you use it after 1 year or 2 years, you have it can no longer work, but we don't have a system of how to throw it, how to dispose it, especially in Uganda, in Africa. So there are questions, where do those old computers, old electronics end? And we know they have a lot of toxic materials, toxic elements. So it is a concern for all of us. Uganda is the source of the River Nile, and that River Nile flows through several countries up to the Mediterranean Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea has a relationship with Europe. So somehow the effects can come back. And so we need to address it and to create awareness among the populations. Even here, we do think the systems are to a large extent sufficient or efficient. Some people don't know where the waste ends or the waste they generate, how it is handled after leaving your apartment. But we think somehow you need to know how it's handled. Maybe it can change the way you buy. Maybe you start buying from supermarkets or shopping malls that have degradable materials that have no packaging stuff a lot, something like that. So it can also change the way people manage waste, especially at their personal and the household level.
Thanks, Francis. Lucien, I think now Francis gave us a couple of challenges, mm-hmm. also some solutions already. Mm-hmm. Is there a challenge you would like to add, a special challenge you see in your community?
Yeah, thank you so much. I personally deal with waste management projects, and the biggest challenge that we've seen in the community. Yes, Uganda has one of the best bylaws, and the bylaws are not enforced to the level that people do what they feel they want. And you get that there is a lot of littering of waste. You get that the industries or the factories that are producing, that are manufacturing things, the air which they lead out or the gas that they lead out is not treated. And the government is too slow to maybe arrest those people or give a charge, a fee, which is higher than the cost of production, to make them at least reduce that kind of pollution in the area or affect the environment. So Uganda has some of the best bylaws, but they are not seriously enforced, and that is one of the biggest challenges that we have. And as a district in Busia, we tried to advocate for a new bylaw, which can be at least used at the district level. So it took quite a very long time for the bylaw to be enacted. And I appreciate that the local government tried to do something and they have enacted the bylaw, but they have not yet sensitized the community. Therefore, the bylaw is not yet active. They have not yet started using it. But as an organization, we shall still try our best to do it, to encourage them to do the sensitization and make the bylaw come into use. And then we have also a challenge of limited resources. The limited resources here, I mean both the human resource and the incomes, the monies. Because, yeah, we can have waste and we have limited people to manage the waste. For example, the local governments employ very few people. So if there are few people, we have few skips or we have the few trucks to collect waste. So there are times that people litter waste everywhere and then there are no resources to go and clean those places or to go and clean and take the waste to the right place. And then at times we have a challenge that, for example, the incomes to fuel the vehicles is not there. So the local government trucks delay to move in the community to collect the waste, and especially the urban centers. So this really becomes a very big challenge. For example, someone to stay with waste for a very long time. So what will he do with it? Can end up putting in a drainage channel. So when rain comes, it goes with it. And where does it go? It blocks the water systems. So that is also another big challenge. Now, in Europe, here, in Austria here, when I moved around in the streets, I really saw that these people try to sort their waste. There is paper waste, but that is not a practice in our country. And we are trying to really sensitize, talk to the people, but it's, you know, attitudinal change tries to take some small time or a very long period of time, and it needs when you begin at childhood level. But that is also a very big problem. Then we have an issue of attitude. There are some tribes still. For example, we have a tribe in Uganda or in Iteso that uses what they call the Karamojongs. Mostly, they don't love using the latrine. They don't like using the latrine. So what happens, they say that the ladies, when you're pregnant and you go to the latrine, that the child can drop in, so they have their cultures that they still believe in. So that is also still a problem. So I think those are some of the challenges that I can add in on what my colleague had to say. Thank you.
Yes, so we heard many challenges. We heard some solutions already. So the last 3 to 4 minutes we have, I would like to focus on some more solutions. And maybe, Francis, you could give us a short idea of which solutions you have. And also you, Lucien, that you talk shortly about the solutions.
Thank you very much, Nora. It's a mix of solutions. They are not 100% guaranteed, but as I noted in the earlier point, one of them is knowledge, having enough knowledge among the population so that they learn how to manage their waste at that small scale in their homes. Maybe I needed to give some clarification maybe to our listeners who are Austrian and have not been to Africa. When we talk of a rural area or village in Africa or in Uganda, it's kind of very different from the setup here. In rural areas in Uganda, you'll find houses very scattered from each other. They may be 1 kilometer to find another home and another kilometer to find another home. That means managing waste as a community becomes very costly, even for government to collect and to dispose that garbage and all that is kind of a challenge. Yet when you talk of villages here in Austria, you'll find them concentrated in some place. That means the government or the authorities, the provincial governments can easily manage it. The other solution we think, apart from the knowledge, is the advocacy work. We think, as my colleague said, there are some laws, but the enforcement is poor. And we've got to talk to government, to the local governments, to putting more resources in enforcement of these laws, because sometimes really communities can change using the law. We can use the law to change communities. Over time, they will get used to the new ways of disposing waste and managing their waste. But for now, because of the politicking, there is always a need for votes, and some governments don't want to annoy the citizens. They don't enforce the law the way we would wish. So we are engaging the local governments and the central governments, those responsible departments, as an organization. We don't have the mandate to enforce laws, but we think we can, over time, as a church — I work with the Caritas, and it's a church organization — they can listen to, with hope, they can listen to the church, and over time, they can enforce these laws. Then when it comes to communities, we also promoting issues of upcycling and recycling. Some of this waste can be used to generate or produce new products. It's unfortunate we on radio, some of our friends who are listening can't see some of them. We cut some of the materials. Some are earrings, other necklaces, others are dresses. They are made from waste paper, waste plastics, waste glass. I had very beautiful earrings made from waste glass and all that. That can reduce on some of the waste. When people start looking at waste as another source of income, they can turn some of this waste into an income. I talked of biogas. Here you use gas, but it's not generated from — maybe some is generated from degradable materials, but much of it, I think, is generated from somewhere oil fields or something. I don't know. Maybe some Austrians also don't know where their gas comes from. But we have cases where households have used their waste to generate biogas, and they're using it to light their houses and their cook.
I think you will get more information about where we get our gas, and if the people in Austria are informed about it. I agree. I'm also sure about it that some of them, they don't even care where it's coming from, but in Austria you can find several ways. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. So, Lucien, I cannot forward the question to you to talk about solutions, but I hope that Francis covered it at least a little bit as well when he was talking about the advocacy work and so on. Mm-hmm. But there is a possibility to hear you talking and to see a nice presentation you prepared on 6th of March at 6 o'clock in Bethlehemstraße 30. This is in Linz. And Bettina, maybe you just give short information about this event, and there the audience can get in contact with you, can discuss with you and exchange a little bit more.
Also am Mittwoch wird es unter dem Motto "Wenn Müll sich nützlich macht" nochmal eine Begegnungsveranstaltung geben mit den beiden Gästen, wo sie mehr von ihrer Arbeit erzählen werden, von den Herausforderungen, aber vor allem von den Lösungen. Jetzt haben wir viel von den Problemen gesprochen, aber die beiden haben wirklich ziemlich viele kreative Ideen, wie sie Metallreste in Kochtöpfe verwandeln oder eben mit einer Kuh die ganze Küche schmeißen sozusagen.
Ja, vielen Dank, liebe Bettina. Am 6. April ist es, ich habe gleich vorher March gesagt, am 6. April, also diesen Mittwoch um 18 Uhr im Luftraum, Bethlehemstraße 30. Es werden auch die netten Leute vom Luftraum hier präsentieren, wie sie mit Müll umgehen und was zum Beispiel die zquetschten Zwetschgen so anstellen. Ja, Lucien, Francis, thank you so much for coming. Vielen Dank, Bettina, dass ihr heute da wart. Dankeschön.
Danke auch.
Thank you. Verrückt spielt mein Verstand, Junges.